Hi, everybody. Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and Ken back on for another exciting 30 minutes of doing just that, Talking Fugitive. Tonight we're going to be discussing the episode Running Scared, which is what the hosts tell me that they do most every other week at approximately this time. If you want to participate in the program, 800-407-KSAV, or during the program, you can email talk@ksav.org. Other times, you can email fugitive@ksav.org. All right, running scared, and to take things, get things started for us, let's go to Bobby Neer.
Thank you, Mr. White. Season 1, episode number 15, Home is the Hunted. Richard Kimball goes home back to Stafford, Indiana. The reason, to see his ailing and aging father, who may not live much longer. It is there that we see Donna for the first time and Richard's brother Ray, who afterwards is banished from the series for the duration. After an emotional and tearful farewell with his dad, Kimball leaves town knowing that the next time he returns, even if it's as a free man, his father almost certainly will not be there to greet him. Now in season 3, the inevitable has occurred. Kimball's father has passed away, and Richard needs to make a new connection with his sister Donna. This time, however, will not be in Stafford, but in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Once again, we are treated, and I do mean treated, to an emotional reunion between brother and sister. First on the phone, where Donna once again breaks down into tears at the mere sound of Kimball's voice, and later on in person. But before we get to the important details of this episode, let's spend a little time, as we always do, talking about Donna. Running Scared is considered a classic episode. Kitty and I both gave it a 9, and Ken gave it a 10, almost all of it for the scenes with Donna. I went back and read Ken's review, and here are just a few relevant lines from it. Ken wrote, "Donna, where have you been? I have missed you. Great to have you back. I still feel that the series should have used her in 10 to 15 episodes. Why not? Plenty of stories could have been written with her and Ray. I liked Running Scared. I felt the same emotion as Donna. She needed her brother. Outstanding acting by Jacqueline Scott. She was better here than in Hunted and Trial by Fire. Great scene in the hotel room. Donna is waiting for the phone call. A tense moment. All of us are eager for her to find and talk with her brother. I can imagine the same feelings if I was in that situation. I wish Donna was my sister. Way to go, Donna. Because of her, I am going with a 10 rating. Now, that's just a portion of Ken's review. Sad to say that this episode, number 82 in Season 3, is shockingly the last appearance by Donna until we get to the series finale 36 episodes later. She does not appear at all until Season 4, until the very end, one of the reasons why that season is a total failure. Well, Ken, I don't know why, but I get this feeling that you are very fond of Donna. And later this year, we will be doing a show on the two faces of Kimball's sister, just two, since there was no sister in the movie version, and obviously Donna will be a major part of that program. So perhaps Kitty and I will take that night off, and you can pour your heart out for the entire 30 minutes with your love for Donna, and maybe that will help you get it out of your system. By the way, all kidding aside, I do agree with you, and I can honestly say, after reading that you wish Donna had been your sister, that I actually had a sister in real life until she passed away 7 years ago, very much like Donna, and although I never became a fugitive, she did every bit as much for me emotionally as the fictional Donna does for Kimball. So I can relate to this. Okay, Ken, take a few minutes and talk about the sister you wish you had, and, oh, by the way, Ken, if you loved her so much, why didn't you let her come back earlier in Season 4?
I do have a confession to make, Bob. I'm in love with Donna. I confess.
You're kidding.
Ever since I saw her in Home and the Hunted, that was just a little foretaste. And I got a little feeling, you know, the relationship and the family. That's a very important episode. If people haven't seen it, you've got to see Home as the Hunted. And then the next time we see her is Trial by Fire, right? The second time?
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was with the witness. So again, we get, you know, her emotion, her caring for her brother. But this episode, Running Scared, is the one episode I think she gave her best performance. And again, I'm going to give credit to the producers for casting between Jacqueline Scott as Donna. So, you know, I've been bashing them a lot on the message board, but I do give credit for their good casting and also a well-done episode. However, I still feel, you know, that, like I said, she should have been used 10 to 15 times throughout the 4 years.
36 episodes between this appearance and the next? 36?
Oh, how could they do that? You know, she's part of the show. She's part of the drama. And especially the hotel room. Now, that was very good. You know, she's on the phone. And, well, you know, they make their getaway. They get away from the house. They elude the police. They get into the hotel room. She's expecting the call, and she's very tense. And you just feel it, you know. You're just with her. She's got to see her brother. And, of course, you know, the Ballinger's wife or whatever, the prosecuting attorney's wife, you know, she helps out, and then they finally meet at the stadium. But I thought that hotel room, you know, it really set the stage.
Do you suppose that there could have been something where Jacqueline Scott wasn't available for that period of time that she was doing something?
We've never heard that.
Well, that's what I say. I don't know. That was just a speculation.
But even if she had been extremely busy at that point, and I can go to IMDb later and see what she was doing around that time, I think that she would have always come back and done it, because in Ed Robertson's book, she makes some very nice comments about how she loved acting with David Janssen, what a nice man he was, and all that. By the way, Ken, have you recently read that part of Ed Robertson's book, The Fugitive Recaptured, for this episode? Because he points out that even though she's very emotional in this episode, as always, that Kimball really calls her on that and asks her to bear up, and she kind of sucks it in sometimes, don't you think?
Yes, I remember reading. I've read his book twice, and yes, I do remember reading about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to get into the stadium reunion, right?
No, we'll do that a little later.
Oh, okay. But there's something I wanted to add to that scene.
Okay. Kitty?
Oh, well, I think Ken said it all. I enjoyed the episode. I mean, I think it was certainly worth watching. We saw some good scenes between Kimball and his sister, and I would agree. I think it would have been nice to see at least one or two more episodes. I mean, why it didn't occur to these people, particularly in season four, to bring back Donna and Ray, for that matter, for, you know, for one or two episodes. I mean, considering what we have seen so far in season four in our reviews, I think people would have been delighted to see Kimball making contact with his relatives.
But you know what, Kenny? I was thinking about this, and as much as we all like to see Kimball and his sister together, in reality, doesn't her over-emotional state kind of place him in extra jeopardy? And that's really why he calls her on that and tells her she's got to, you know, calm down a little, that if he's going to last any longer, he can't be seeing her collapsing in tears every time. I think that puts a lot of pressure on him.
I don't know that she's necessarily collapsed in tears every time he's seen her. I mean,
really?
I don't remember her getting all emotional and breaking down in Trial by Fire. I mean, in this particular episode, her father had just died, and she wanted to see her brother. I think we can cut her a little slack there.
Well, I'm not criticizing her. I'm just saying that I think one of the reasons why the writer in this episode wrote this little piece in there, and Ed Robertson pointed it out, that it's unusual for Kimball to say to her, now, come on now, stop all the crying. You know, I have to be strong, and you have to be strong, too.
Right.
Because that can go a little too far.
Right, and I think that if we'd had an intelligent writer on the show back then, if she had been brought back for another episode, I think we probably would have seen her, you know, acting differently. I mean, because like I said, I don't remember her breaking down and getting super emotional during the episode Trial by Fire. I mean, she seemed to be holding it together quite well, I think, in that episode.
Well, I mean, there's no question that she has, for me, she adds emotion to this series. And I've tried to think of it without her being in it, and it just doesn't work for me. I mean, I think that you know, in the movie version, which we talked about on our last show a little bit, they didn't have time to do it and have any sister in there, obviously, in a two-hour movie. And I found that, among other things, lacking a little bit. So once you see Don and you see these scenes, you get to the point where you almost expect it. But Ken is right. He has been giving them a hard time on our message board about not having her in season four, but there's no question about that. I mean, we all know that we're in the middle of that season and it's a mess and they've got nothing to do and they're repeating ideas, so they should have brought her back into it. There's no question about that. Well, we're going to do, like I said, a show a little bit later this year on her, and we'll talk about her again and the 2000-2001 Donna. But right now, Kitty, I've been hearing rumors all day long that you have an email to read from one of our longtime group members and loyal listeners. So why don't you read that now, and then after the break, we'll kick that around the wall.
Okay, well, this is from Phil, and he says, "Hello, everyone. I will be unable to listen to the show this evening, but I wanted to make a couple of comments on this episode. I liked this episode. I found it entertaining and tied up a loose end with the passing of Richard's father, whom we met in Home is the Hunted. I liked the police work done in this episode. We have Donna's house under surveillance, albeit the surveillance was done very openly. Any moron would recognize the unmarked police car parked across the street, but it showed that the Stafford Police Department was making an effort. I was always surprised why phone taps were not sought upon the Taft phones throughout this particular period when the father had died. Surely Donna and Richard would have been in contact. He always used the phone booth while Donna always used the family phone. The prosecuting attorney noticed Donna at the airport after eluding the police surveillance was a nice touch. It set up the police vigil at their hotel and the cat and mouse waiting game for Kimball to attend the hotel for the meeting with Donna and Len. I am not sure the added plot twist with the prosecutor's wife entering the picture was needed. I thought it was an added distraction. But nevertheless, this episode was well done. Bob and Kitty and all, keep up the good work. I will catch this program on the archives."
Okay, thanks, Kitty, and thanks, Phil. And I believe, and I hope I'm right about this, and I apologize to Phil if he's listening or listens later in the archives if I'm incorrect, but Phil was at one time a police officer. And he should know what he's talking about. And he's been on our board several times, and he's pointed out some inconsistencies in police work. Ken, what do you think? Don't you think it would have made sense for them to be tapping Donna's phone at least at some point?
Yes, in the beginning, you know, the first year, a year and a half. But I can't see them into the second year and the third year kind of watching her house. Do you?
Well, not later, but certainly early on.
Yeah, early on, the first season.
Well, you know, and actually, couldn't they have done something to have the phone taps removed? Because I remember there was actually a mention about that in the second Fugitive series where Kimball called his sister and she said, "It's okay, our lawyer got the phone taps removed."
Gosh, I don't remember that, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
You
see,
can
they
get
could
the, wait a minute. You can
about
get the phone.
That in season two or season three. Have a story. You know, how does Richard contact Donna? We really didn't get much of that, did we?
All right. Well, we're gonna take a time out. Let me pose a couple of things. Couldn't you see Gerard? I mean, sitting there 24/7 with the headphones on, monitoring the phone. I think he'd have time for that. And also, maybe you could ask Phil, as a police officer, was he ever assigned to more than one case at a time?
Okay.
All right. Anyway, we'll take a quick time out. Be back to talk a little more about Running Scared, Talking Fugitive here on Retro Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave White, your host of Talkin' Television with Dave White. Broadcast every Tuesday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on KSAV. Each week, television guru Tim Carmody and I discuss the programs, series, stars, and more that our audience wants to hear about. Expert guests, your phone calls, and emails make this a fun 90 minutes of live programming. So schedule some time on Tuesday evenings to tune in to Talkin' Television with Dave White. We're working hard to put television on the radio.
All right, we return talking Fugitive. Tonight's episode, Running Scared, we're finding out a lot of new stuff. So let's pick up where we left off. Once again, go to Bobby Nair.
Thanks, Dave. Anyone who knows this series knows that Richard Kimball could not possibly have escaped so many times without getting plenty of help from the kindness of strangers. People who just look into those expressive eyes and are just sure he's telling the truth when he says, "I didn't kill my wife." But does everyone do it only because they are touched by this angel gone bad? Maybe some of them have private agendas and reasons of their own for warning Kimball to get out of Dodge and out of their lives. In the first year of our program, we took a look at just two of them. But there have been many more since then. On our next program, Saving Dr. Kimball, Part 2, we'll take a look at some of the most memorable, from North Oak's Wilma Springer to Chicago newspaper columnist Mike Decker, to lawyer G. Stanley Laser, to super reporter Barbara Webb, and super social worker Margaret Ruskin, right down to those two old geezers from the endgame, Devlin and Reed. Some of the aforementioned even went to prison for helping the fugitive. So, who had the most to lose or gain by saving Dr. Kimball? 2 weeks from tonight on Talking Fugitive. As big a part as Sister Donna plays in this episode, the fact is that the real tension is created when Richard Kimball has a very much unwanted reunion with the district attorney who sent him to death row in the first place. All the main players seem to be gathered in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for this surreptitious meeting between Donna and Richard. Only Donna is recognized by the DA's assistant, and it seems that the prosecutor is now running for governor, and, well, one thing leads to another, and before you know it, Gerard is in on it, and all hell breaks loose. What I find interesting about all of this is the difference in attitude between District Attorney Mike Ballinger and Gerard. Gerard is there with his usual obsessive behavior, wanting nothing but to recapture Kimball. Ballinger, on the other hand, at least at the beginning of the episode, seems to not care one way or the other that Kimball escaped and might be in the area, until he is reminded that if he's the one who gets him back, it could just propel him into the governor's mansion. Throughout the series, Gerard never really acts as though he expects to gain any fame if he finds Kimball, or that it will get him back in the good graces of the people of Stafford, since Kimball escaped on his watch. It almost seems to be a private vendetta against Kimball that only Gerard understands. Ballinger, on the other hand, has got fame, fortune, and a bigger career in mind. Almost makes you wonder, in our own current real-life presidential election, why Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton don't try to find a fugitive and get him arrested so that they can take credit for it and get into the White House. Maybe it would work. They certainly tried everything else. Kitty, what do you think of Gerard and Ballinger and the different ways they approach this sudden appearance of Richard Kimball?
Well, I think in the case of Ballinger, he's looking at it more logically. I mean, I suppose you could, if you were to draw an analogy, Ballinger's kind of like Spock. You know, what's the logical means to an end? Gerard, he's just pure emotions all the way. I mean, he's just, it's all about Gerard at this point. I mean, because he's seen all kinds of things that flies in the face of logic, and yet his own ego will not allow him to accept anything else other than the fact that he has to drag Kimball back to death row.
But at the beginning of this episode, when Ballinger's assistant tells him he saw Donna, doesn't Ballinger act like he really couldn't care less?
Well, precisely. I mean, because in the case of Donna, she's at the airport, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she could technically be going anywhere to visit anybody. I mean, to just automatically assume that she's going off to see Kimball, I think, would be a huge jump. I think I saw him as much more pragmatic about everything.
Yeah, because Ballinger has to be reminded that, hey, you know what? Here's a big chance. You're running for governor. and this can only look good for you that you just happened to catch up to Gilmore, and Gerard couldn't do it for such a long time. And I just thought it shows how Gerard is so single-minded that other people don't view Kimmel that way. I mean, if you go by Gerard's attitude, Kimmel is the most awful criminal on the loose in America, that you've got to find him right away, or God knows how many people are going to be in jeopardy. But Ballinger, here's the man who actually prosecuted the case, who actually sent him to death row, and when he finds out that just there's even a slight chance that something may be up, he goes, well, yeah, he acts like, well, you know, I did my part of the job. I sent him there. Somebody else has to catch him. What do you think, Ken?
Yeah, he was sitting there at the restaurant with his assistant, and you're right, he didn't care much until,
yeah,
you know, the opportunity for him to be governor. You know, it was politics for him. You know, it was good casting again by the producers. James Daly, very good. But I'll have to agree with Phil. I thought the wife angle, even though she kind of helped set up the meeting for Don and Richard, that kind of family feud there kind of took away from me, because I was focused on Donna and Richard getting together.
Well, let's explain what that is for anybody who hadn't seen the episode. I mean, her reason for ending up helping Richard and Donna connect is that she actually feels sorry for Donna.
Yeah.
Not because she's so much on Kimball's side, but her real reason is that her husband has completely abandoned her, much like Gerard has abandoned his wife. And he's seeking a higher political office. And so, just like this fits into our next show in 2 weeks, she's one of those people who helps Kimmel, who has really herself maybe more in mind than him. And that's something that she sees throughout the series. Not everybody does it just because they believe him. As far as I'm concerned, you almost had to have her in there. I mean, where else was this story going to go? You know, every story has to have somebody who helps Kimball escape, and in this story, she ends up being the one. So if you don't do that part of the story, you've only got the meeting between Kimball and his sister, and maybe the chase at the end that we have, but, you know, there's something lacking there. So they always kind of stick a character in that, yeah, that ends up doing that.
Well, you know, speaking of the chase at the end, I mean, you know, here was an episode where I thought it could have been really well served if,
yeah,
he not only saw Donna, but Ray. I mean, it was Ray's father, too, that died.
Absolutely.
And I always thought that, you know, at the end, Gerard gave up way too easily on his chase.
Oh, it was awful.
I think it could have been a very interesting ending if he thought he was chasing Richard at the end, but then when he finally catches up to him, he discovers he's chasing the wrong Kimball brother. He's chasing Ray.
That would have been great. That would,
yeah,
have been great. That would have been very ironic. But, you know, this end of this episode here with the chase was extremely disappointing to me. I mean, they're in this sports arena, and Kimball's on, well, he's left Donna, and he's going up one ramp, and Gerard is at the other ramp, going up that way, and there's a great moment there when they spot each other and they just freeze right there, as if each one is afraid to make a move for fear of losing whatever advantage they might have. And so it freezes right there, and then Kimball takes off and eventually runs, if I remember correctly, he runs right through the turnstile out of the building, and Gerard does not follow him. Okay, now, Ken, remember in Never Wave Goodbye, when Gerard chased Kimball out in the street, Gerard went all the way out in the street and looked up and down to see if he was out there, didn't he?
That's right.
Well, and don't forget throwing a life raft into shark-infested waters. That was how determined he was to catch Kimball, and now he doesn't even want to run through a turnstile.
Maybe he didn't have a ticket.
But yeah, you're right. He wouldn't have been able to get back in.
Okay.
It's a basketball game.
Okay.
You know,
Ken, what did you want to say earlier about the end part of this story?
Well, the reunion with Richard and Donna.
Okay.
We do get it. It's very touching. You got Len there, and Len leaves, get a cup of coffee, and Richard and Donna talk. And Donna, you know, or Richard says, "Don't cry. You know, be strong for me." Fine. But then Donna asks a question. She goes, "Did you find the? Have you found the guy? Are you any leads?"
Oh, I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah. Remember in Wife Killer, you know, Richard, caught up with the one-armed man. You would think he would at least say, "Hey, this guy's out here." But you know what he says? He says, "I gotta go." And I said, well,
it's because of the amnesia. Remember, they all get amnesia at the end of each episode.
You know, I kind of wanted a longer reunion. Bob, I got to ask you.
What?
Meeting in the sports arena, is that a good idea for a fugitive?
I don't know, is it?
Where there's a million people.
Oh, but wait a minute. But you know what? They're in the lobby area, and the basketball game is on, so everybody's in there.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, let me say this. If you wanted to go there because you wanted to blend in with the crowd and not be noticed, don't you think they should have bought tickets and been sitting in the stands watching the game and had a reunion right there?
Yeah, I think it's risky myself. You got security guards, obviously, and then if Gerard's catching up, you know, Gerard should seal the exits if Kimball's in the arena. But
yes, but Gerard never does the smart thing. So, I mean, why would we expect him to do it that way? But you're right about that. You know, I never thought about what you just brought up about the fact that she does indeed ask him that, and it almost looks funny as if to say, actually, let me think about it. But no, nothing's new than happening in my life. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
He could have said, hey, Donna, guess what? This guy is out there. The guy I saw on the night of the murder, he's out there, and I caught up with him. Maybe he wrote a letter, you know, like I'm saying. They could have used Donna in other episodes, and Donna, you know, she gets curious about this one-armed man, and, you know, she tries to help, and, guy, all these soap operas we've been getting, and kidnappings, and thugs.
Well, you know, they set Donna up from the beginning as such a helper to her brother that it seems almost unnatural that she would be the one in season four who would find some sort of thing to latch onto that would eventually lead to Kimball being exonerated. Instead, they just throw her away. I mean, it's incredible. This series, I think, is the worst one I've ever seen in my life that is inconsistent. For some reason, I never understand. The writers, either they had too many writers from too many different places or whatever it was, never went back and looked at what had happened before. And if you look through Ed Robertson's book and you see the names of the different writers, there are some that do repeat, especially the good ones.
Okay, one minute.
Okay, but there are a lot of them, there's too many in there. Maybe they should have had just one group of writers that would stick with it and say, all right, you know, we're running out of ideas. Let's go back to season one. Let's go back to season two and bring this one back, just like Kitty says, bring Ray back. But to just send Ray off into cyberspace somewhere and make him disappear is outrageous.
Yeah, we're not a dumb audience, right?
But they bummed it down.
Yeah.
Well, and in fact, even at the time when the show aired, Bob, you said that your mother used to watch the show and say, oh, this is stupid.
Yes, she did. She noticed things like that. Absolutely. And it becomes painfully obvious when you nitpick the series the way we do.
Yeah.
And you go back and you say, well, you know, but I think that's very, very funny in a way that she would ask her brother if anything has happened since. And he simply says goodbye.
Yeah.
Come on, Richard, give me a break. He's got to have something more than that to say, don't you think?
All right, but you've that's all you've got to say here because we're out of time. And I think it's well covered. So much for Running Scared. We're going to be back in 2 weeks. You guys won't be running scared. I want to invite everybody to stay tuned in 1 hour. A fabulous show, Talking Television with Dave White, will be on. The featured program tonight is Leave It to Beaver. So it will be none of the fugitive. It'll be Wally and the Beaver.
You know, I have a feeling that I saw that at one time in my life.
Well, you're going to have a chance to relive it all. Everybody, be back in 2 weeks. We'll talk more fugitive one more time here on Sherevision Radio. Really tell me the way you look so fine.